premenstrual dysphoric disorder, a disruptive mood deregulation disorder, so I have trouble regulating my moods, and bipolar disorders. So those are all things that can contribute to or different forms of depression. So I hope this was useful today. I hope you can see that sometimes grief is mistaken for depression, and sometimes depression is mistaken for grief because they're so similar. Either way, please seek out help. There is help. You don't need to be depressed and stay depressed. There's plenty of help. And I will be back next week with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirrol, your host for today's program. And don't be afraid to seek out counseling. It can help. I will be back next week. Have a great week.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamirrol, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altamirrolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Alabama Democratic Senator Doug Jones says he will vote to convict President Trump on both articles of impeachment.
Accordingly, I will vote to convict the president on both articles of impeachment. In doing so, I am mindful that in a democracy, there is nothing more sacred than the right to vote and respecting the will of the people.
The Democrat is worried about his future and what it means in the deep red state of Alabama, as Jones is up for re-election this year. Reaction still coming in fast and furious as House Republican leaders are criticizing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for ripping up the State of the Union speech. Speaking to reporters at the Capitol, House Minority Whip Steve Scalise says it was disgraceful for the speaker to do that.
It wasn't just President Trump's speech. It was the names of those military servicemen and women, people who have given their life for our country.
This is USA Radio News.
February is Black History Month, and what better way to celebrate than through the sounds of music? Opening summer 2020 in Nashville, the National Museum of African American Music will feature more than 50 musical genres created and inspired by African Americans. Museum President and CEO H. Beecher Hicks III.
We are proud to be a first of its.
The man fans call El Rushfo looked stunned at first, then alternately smiled, laughed, and even cried a little. Just a few days ago, he announced he's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Cook County, Illinois State's Attorney Kim Fox admitting her office made mistakes in how it handled the Jussie Smollett case. Appearing with Democratic primary opponents yesterday, she said her office was not perfect with how it handled the Smollett case. Fox facing national scrutiny after her office dropped charges against the actor, who was accused of staging a hate crime against himself in Chicago last year. She argued that the state's attorney's office and the justice system in Cook County is much better now, calling it a model for the nation. And McDonald's Shamrock Shake is returning to McDonald's menu for the first time in 3 years on February 19th through St. Patrick's Day. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He stayed on script, he never mentioned impeachment, and delivered a very uplifting and positive State of the Union address. That's what most Republicans are saying about President Trump's speech last night, but Democrats, not so much. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It was a sad moment for democracy.
Schumer claiming the president lied as he touted his record since first winning the White House.
The president's speech last night was much more like a Trump rally than a speech a true leader would give.
Republicans like House Minority Whip Steve Scalise are outraged that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi ripped up her copy of the State of the Union speech as soon as the president finished.
It wasn't just President Trump's speech. It was the names of those military servicemen and women, people who have given their life for our country. She ripped their names up.
And this is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
U.S. House Democrats had launched the initial inquiry back last September. They voted to impeach President Trump in December. Now today, the U.S. Senate, led by Republicans, is expected to acquit the president on two articles of impeachment that those Democrats had brought. Around 30% of the precincts in the Iowa caucuses Monday night have yet to report their results, and it remains unclear when the rest of the data will be released, but Iowa Democrats say it was a coding error in a reporting app that's been causing the delay. Congressman Eric Swalwell of California says he doesn't think this is going to hurt Democrats in the long run.
You know, we're going to move on to New Hampshire, South Carolina. It's going to be a long process. I wouldn't write anyone off, you know, who's in the top five right now, but... You know, I think we're looking forward to seeing other states starting to participate.
Hundreds of thousands of people are lining the streets of cold Kansas City for today's victory parade for the champion Chiefs. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I have my master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor. I'm also a licensed professional counselor. So that is all of the information around all the stuff on my name. And I have a small practice here in Flemington. Now, I've been doing Counselor's Chat for 9.5, maybe 10 years. I'm really not sure. I started pretty soon after the... Hundred and Chamber Radio came on board, so it is something that I've been doing now for a long time. The reason I do Counselor's Chat is to provide some education on mental health issues, and to also remove the stigma around people seeking out counseling, that it's okay. It doesn't mean that that you're cuckoo, okay? So that sometimes is a concern. People think, oh, I don't want to be considered, you know, nuts. That's, you know, it has a bad connotation going to counseling. Where in reality, seeking out counseling and going to therapy, it can be a very positive experience. I'm going to say sometimes it's painful, but I had, I guess maybe a little more than a year and a half ago, I had pulled some muscle in my neck, and I was going to physical therapy. And as I talked to the physical therapist, we realized that physical therapy and psychotherapy, going to counseling, are very similar. It's just one is exercising the and building strength up in the muscle connected to bone and tissue versus building up and strengthening the muscle in the brain. That it really has a lot of things in common. So that means oftentimes people come into counseling because they're in some type of pain. People go to physical therapy because they're in some type of pain. The physical therapist says we are going to do some exercises to strengthen the muscle. So the therapist says, well, we're going to talk about what's going on, and I may give you some tools to strengthen the brain muscle. And the physical therapist says, you know, I want you to come in every week and I want you to practice this at home. And the therapist says, I want you to come in every week and I want you to practice this at home. And over time, your muscles are going to get better and stronger. And over time, your life is going to get better and stronger. So that is part of what happens when you seek out therapy. And my little jingle that I play says, you can find me on the web at www.altarolcounselor.net. It's no longer .net. It's Altarol with two L's, counselor, O-R, .com. So I am now a .com. So today I'm talking about depression and grief. In our society, we so often, I'm going to use the word conflate. And conflate often means joining together, mixing things up. It's like taking conflate. It's like taking milk and chocolate, mixing it together, and ending up with chocolate milk. So we often conflate grief and depression. Now, we do that because we really don't have a good handle in our society on grief. We don't deal with it very well. We have in the past, her name was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and I think I've talked about her before. She wrote a book on death and dying, which actually at the end of her life, she decided she was sorry she wrote that book, but it really put grief in a five-step situation. And the problem with that, from her viewpoint, is it made it sound like you'd finish one step and then you go to the next and the next step is over, you go to the next step and you just till you reach the final step, which is acceptance. So you have sort of the sense of shock and denial and bargaining. Okay, so shock and denial kind of same. Bargaining, if I had done this, or if I had done that, God, maybe we can make this better. I'll be a better person. Those kinds of things. We go into a sense of sadness, we go into anger, we reach acceptance. So so depression can be related to grief. Depression can come out of grief. In other words, I can get stuck in the grieving process and it becomes depression. And depression and grief may not be connected at all. There may be an actual biologic issue that's going on. So grief and depression, I'm going to say that I'm going to call it situational. So the two are so similar. I mean, the symptoms of grief and depression are so similar. So with grief and depression, you have a loss of energy. You do have a sense of, numbness, confusion, not sure. I'm just sort of distracted and I don't know. I came into the kitchen to get something. I don't even know. That could be depression. It could be grief. Feeling sad. Well, yes, sad. Well, you would be sad if you're grieving. And sadness also comes with depression. Loss of appetite or change in appetite. So when we're depressed, we can eat everything and then not eat anything. Or say, I don't have any appetite. I don't want to eat anything. Just food in itself, I'm just not even interested in it. That could be grief. It could be depression. Loss of interest in things that once gave us pleasure. I just, you know what? I don't really want to go for a walk. I used to love walking and I don't know. I just don't feel like it. Okay. That could be depression. Could be grief. A client of mine lost her husband a couple of years ago and they were big football fans, big Super Bowl fans. And she just said, I just can't. I'm not interested in the Super Bowl. Sleep. So with depression, I don't want to get out of bed. With grief, maybe same thing. I don't really want to get out of bed. I either sleep too much or I go to bed and I just lay in bed and I just don't want to do anything. It could be a sense of guilt. I should have done something. I should have known if I had done this, if I had done that. But that also goes along with feeling depressed, a sense of guilt, a sense of worthlessness, difficulty with thoughts of suicide sometimes. So, you know, sometimes the pain of someone else's death is so great. Or we have things called copycat suicides. The pain is so great. And the same thing with depression. The pain is so great. So the symptoms, you know, they can vary from mild to severe. But you can see that the symptoms are so similar. Grief and depression. I believe that in reality, we all grieve in some ways, almost all the time. Now, that sounds pretty dark. But regrets over things that I could have done, should have done, lost, missed chances, missed opportunities, missed relationships, lost childhood, having been abused as a child, being in an abusive relationship, when we can connect, and this is not everybody's going to agree with me, and that's okay, but when we can connect those feelings of depression / grief with an event, then I think it's actually grief. So that there's times I've got clients, we have to grieve their childhood, their lost childhood. What does that mean? My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad was never there. My parents died. My favorite aunt died. My grandparents died. My dog. When I was a kid, oh my God, my dog died. And no one ever sat down with me and helped me work it through, talked about it. Kids are resilient. They get over it. We take on roles to mask the feelings. We don't get the tools to deal with those feelings so that we can complete those feelings. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Sorry. Yes, that is my phone. There we go. It stopped. I think pure depression is I really can't connect it with anything. I just have a low mood. I just feel I have a hard time getting out of bed. I really, you know, I've had some really great things happen in my life. And I'm going to say, you know what, grief can actually, one of the descriptions of grief is when there's a change of any kind, a change of any kind. I'm getting married. There can be grief associated with getting married. I'm going to lose my single life. There's a loss. Graduating. I'm so excited. I'm finally graduating with my degree in physics. And I've got this great job lined up. And I'm moving on from my school, my friends. I'm moving on into being much more. I have to be a responsible. I've got to pay my college loans. There's grief in that. So if we don't have the tools to handle it, it can look like depression. In our society, we say, my gosh, you're depressed, here's a pill. And so from my perspective, we over-medicate. Now, one of the things that the DSM-5, which is the diagnostic manual that I would use for diagnosing someone, is that it says you need at least 2 weeks of what appears to be depression to be considered depression. Now, if I just lost my husband and I'm having sad feelings, loss of interest, change in appetite, trouble sleeping, crying, fatigue, feel a sense of purposelessness, worthlessness or guilt, difficulty concentrating, even though the pain is so horrible, I may even be thinking of killing myself, and it's been 2 weeks, since 3 weeks since my husband died, and now I'm told I'm depressed? No, I don't think so. So, I wouldn't suggest anyone go on medication for that. However, at times I do say, I know that you're in a deep sense of grief. I would suggest a little medication so that we can work through this, so that it kind of takes the edge off a little bit so we can work on the grieving issue. But I think that for the most part, like I said, we over-medicate. So some statistics estimate that one in every 15 adults in any given year struggle with depression. And that one in every 6 people will experience depression at some time of their life. Now, I myself sometimes struggle with depression. But I find that my depression is generally associated with an event or sort of a grouping of events. So This past Sunday, I was definitely in a dark place. And I was thinking about things like the wood we have piled up in the driveway from the trees that we've taken down and the leaves that are still in the yard that are always in the yard because we live in the woods. So we have a little bit of lawn, but there's always dried leaves somewhere. And the amount of work and the work that has to happen on the deck and the work that has to happen here. And I was feeling overwhelmed and depressed, just gloomy. It was a gloomy day, and I was fatigued by the amount of things that had to happen. I hadn't slept well. Unfortunately for me, appetite increases, not decreases. We were scheduled to go to the movies with my brother and sister-in-law, and I was like, I don't even know if I want to go. I went, but I was feeling heavy and dark and what we would call depressed. And I could relate that to things. So it wasn't just, I don't know why I'm feeling this way, that I'm just feeling this way. It was related to things. And so I believe for me, even though I would say I'm feeling really depressed, it was also really related to grief. So on average, depression can strike at any time. Oftentimes it appears first in mid to late teens. Women more likely to experience depression than men. And that one-third of women will experience a major depressive episode at some point in their life. And I do think that hormonal changes will do that. Pushing that aside. So I'm going to take a little commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about, is it grief or is it depression? I'm Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
So welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. If you're interested in a little bit more about what I do, you can find me on the web at www.altarollcounselor.com. That's altarroll with two L's, counselor.com. Please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook, and you can see some of the past programming that I've done. And I'm talking today about grief and depression. So being sad over the loss of something is not the same as being depressed. So grieving is a natural process of the loss of, I'm going to say, any kind. It doesn't have to necessarily be a death. It doesn't mean that it's a divorce. Even, you know, we grieve in divorce. We can grieve in change of job, loss of a pet, moving, graduating, getting married, financial issues, health reasons. So people sometimes they get into recovery and they grieve the loss of the drug or alcohol. One of the differences sometimes between grief and depression is that grief usually does not lower self-esteem. So oftentimes with depression, there's a sense of worthlessness and self-loathing. So those things tend to be a little bit more common with depression. And I'm going to add to that sometimes even in grief, if we're in a sort of a sense of, I should have done something, I should have known better, we go to those shoulds. I should have done better on that report. I should have, you know, if I was only better at. Those things can reflect on low self-esteem. And so when we're grieving, sometimes it can affect our self-esteem. But oftentimes, more often when we're depressed, we have a feeling of worthlessness and self-loathing. Those tend to be a little bit more interconnected. Sometimes what we can have with depression is a chemical. Okay, so biochemistry, different chemicals in the brain can contribute to depression. So we have serotonin, we have dopamine, we have neonephrine. We've got a number of different mood transmitters. So the transmitter is the chemical that goes from one brain cell to the next, and a little electrical impulse pushes it through. And so I may have an actual chemical imbalance. So either my brain is not making enough of a particular, you know, like we talk about SSRIs, that's a reuptake. Okay, so that means that processes through, goes back, processes through, goes back. Sometimes the going back is a problem. Sometimes the creating of it is a problem. So it's a real genetic issue. And speaking of genetic issue, a lot of times depression can run in families. For example, if one identical twin is depressed, the other one has a 70% chance of having depression also. If your father was depressed, your mother was depressed. Now, I'm going to add to that a little thing in the mix, that oftentimes, you know, what we learn, what we observe, nurture versus nature, we used to say 50-50, it's now 60% nurture, 40% nature. So it's kind of, so, you know, I observe, like, I don't know, when my parents struggled with someone, when my parents had an argument, my father ended up on the couch, you know, for a week and didn't go to work, or, you know, my mother, you know, so I observe, what do you do when you have, and so I do the same thing. I do what I observe. Oftentimes, personality can play a role. So we are born with particular personality types, and sometimes people with low self-esteem who are easily overwhelmed by stress, who generally are the glasses half empty, people who can be introverts, sometimes are more depressed than extroverts. Most likely, because an introvert will say, what's wrong with me, that I am not an extrovert. I really don't like being around people. I don't have a whole lot of friends. I may even interpret being an introvert as being depressed. And then there can be environmental factors that can cause a depression. But I'm going to also say that those things are maybe even related to grief. So exposure to violence, loss of safety, neglect, loss of care, abuse or poverty can make somebody vulnerable to depression, and there's a loss there also. So those things are connected, I will say that. So as I said, a lot of times what happens in terms of treatment, people in our society especially go to their doctor, they say they're depressed, even if they haven't distinguished the difference between depression and grief, and ask for an antidepressant. Now, an antidepressant may produce some improvement within the first week or two. Usually what happens is it has to get titrated up. So they start on half a milligram, go after 2 weeks, go to a milligram, after 2 weeks, go to 2 milligrams. So they will you know, ratchet it up over a period of time. If the patient feels little or no improvement, then again, may increase the medication, and or there's so many different antidepressants that they may say this particular one isn't the one that's working for you, so we're going to try a different one and see if that happens. Generally speaking, if someone does go on medication, psychiatrists, and I'm going to say even myself, I would suggest stay on it for 6 months or a year and then see where you're at. So statistically, it is shown that when you mix medication with counseling, so not just medication, medication with counseling, that after 6 months or a year, you may not need the medication anymore. You have a much greater chance of moving through the depression, and you gain tools. So I'm going to take another little short break, and I'm going to talk about some other things that we could do to deal with depression and also with grief. So I'm Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's program, and I will be back in just a few moments.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's program, and I'm talking about depression and grief, the things where they're similar and where they're different. Sometimes, and I suggest this book to many clients, it's called The Grief Recovery Handbook. We have learned how to cope with loss and grief in a particular way where we cover it up. We shove it under the rug. We're taught from childhood, and there's a little story in there that says, you know, Child comes home, feelings are hurt. Here, have a cookie, you'll feel better. You know, and then next thing you know, I don't necessarily feel better. I just feel different, and I'm distracted by the sugar of the cookie and the sweetness of the cookie. And if I bring it up later, it's like, you know, that's water under the bridge. Like, it's just, it's old news. We're just not going to talk about it anymore. It's finished. Well, it may not be finished. And so what happens is it gets stuffed inside. And so now we're learning mechanisms for not dealing with, covering up, stuffing inside. And it has a cumulative effect. So over time, the more I stuff in, I may even forget all the things that I've stuffed in there. But now I'm carrying this huge burden of huge sack of grief, and I'm depressed. I don't even know why I'm depressed. But, you know, no one ever gave me any tools on how to treat grief and loss. No one ever talked to me about it. No one ever said, let's do this, let's do that, let's talk, let's work it through, let's have a good cry. I know that the lack of empathy, I know that really hurts. That really hurts. To have somebody say that and to provide that empathy can really help with healing of grief. So one of the things that I offer, because I'm not a physician, I'm not a psychiatrist, I cannot prescribe medication. I might suggest that clients go get medication from a psychiatrist or their doctor. But what I do is I do psychotherapy. I do talk therapy. I do counseling. So often what gets used is what is called cognitive behavioral therapy. And it tends to be pretty effective when treating depression. Now, why is that? So I look at a belief system, and I realize that that belief system is not working for me. Helps me build my self-esteem, helps me let go of past mistakes, helps me move forward. So when I begin to change the way I think about something, I end up changing how I feel. And I use this as as an example. The guy in front of me didn't use his blinker. I believe everybody should use their blinker. I'm now in road rage. If I say the guy in front of me didn't use his blinker, it would be nice if people used their blinker, but not everybody does. People make mistakes. I may be annoyed, but I don't have road rage. So you could see if I change my belief system, everybody should use their blinker to, you know, sometimes people forget, or they may not even realize this blinker isn't working. I may have something that was really precious to my great-grandmother, and it got broken. And I could beat myself up. I can't believe I broke it. I'm stupid. I'm awful. This is terrible. I don't know. I can't stand this. As a consequence, then our behavior may show, okay, in ways that is not helpful. So when we change the way we think about something, then, you know, it's the way cognitive behavioral therapy works. It's the way I think about something, change my thought, I feel better. So oftentimes that's combined with mindfulness. So that means I'm going to practice staying in the moment, being in the present. What can I do today? How can I solve a problem today? I may have a goal. So I've got clients. Maybe you've got a goal, but what are you going to do today to reach that goal? Stay in the present. Accomplish what you can today. Break it down into smaller pieces. So it becomes less overwhelming. Let's work at problem solving. I may work at motivating and providing encouragement, so do a little coaching. So these are things that can happen where it can actually help move someone through from the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness to feeling encouraged and motivated. And that's what happens in psychotherapy. So that when you match treatment with some medication, then, you know, the medication may help me get out of bed, but the therapy helps me change my thinking and my behavior patterns, which then I may not need the medication, and I've got tools to last for a lifetime. We are now using electroconvulsive therapy again. It is something that has been used since the 40s, and they decided they're not going to use it. It's much improved. They're able to do pinpoint areas of the brain much better. And so this is something that happens, again, through medical professionals, including a psychiatrist, an anesthesiologist, a nurse physician assistant. So it is a medical procedure. Now, the thing about electronic stimulation is if you recall, I said you've got the neurotransmitter, serotonin, gets pushed from one cell into the next cell. That's how it works, the electrical impulse. If you ever had cable, don't we all have cable, and it goes out, we're told unplug it from the wall, count to 30, plug it back in. What we're doing is we're resetting the electrical impulse, and so what electroconvulsive therapy does, or ETC, is resetting the electrical impulses in your brain to move the chemicals forward at a better pace. And so it electrically stimulates the brain. That's what it's doing. It is painful, so you do it under anesthesia. 6 to 12 treatments are usually what's recommended. And it can be very helpful. Self-help groups and coping skills, also a very important thing that you could do when you're struggling with depression. So you can go to depression support group. You can go to a grief and loss support group. You might find that going to grief and loss, when you're talking about things that I lost this, I lost that, I lost my job, I lost my dog, I lost my wife, I lost my parents, I lost my childhood. You know, you go to adult children of alcoholics meetings. What do we talk about there? We talk about our lost childhoods. Somebody had to be the adult. I'm 10. Somebody has to be the adult. I'm cooking for my siblings. I'm trying to get dad off to bed. I'm making sure that lunches are packed for school. I'm 10. I've lost my childhood. So in adult children of alcoholics issues, there's inner child work, which is about grieving the loss of our childhood and healing the damage done by that loss. So there's so many things that are involved. You can see that. And you can do this in a self-help group. The positive thing about going to self-help is you realize you're not alone. So you're sitting, it's not a formal therapy group, it's a self-help group. So the leaders, I just did a show last week on self-help groups. So there's no real leader, maybe somebody's picked for the month, but there's no therapist that sits there. It's not a therapy group. It's people talking about their experiences, their strengths, and their hopes. This is something that I've done to help with my grief and loss. Or this is something that I've done to help with my depression. These are some of the ways I've changed eating habits. I've added exercise into my life. I'm taking some vitamins that I find to be really useful. I found that I've added mindfulness to my life. I find that by adding a spirituality and developing a spiritual center has really helped move me from depression to some joy in my life. I feel more motivated. I'm sleeping better. I'm eating better. I'm developing friendships. So these things can really help manage depression. It is strongly suggested to stay away from things that are not prescribed. People use alcohol for depression. People use food for, see those short-term energy relievers? I don't know, I'm depressed, or my boyfriend left me, I'm going to go get a quart of ice cream. Ben and Jerry's, right? That's the thing. Oh, feel awful, I'm going to eat. I'm going to get chocolate, I'm going to drink. We can go from grief, loss, and depression to a state of self-pity. Poor me, poor me. And that is not going to create a positive outcome. We're looking to create a positive outcome. So journaling, you know, I'm in a journaling support group where we're talking about depression. Maybe I'm going to join a group that reads books, you know, self-help books, self-help workbooks, creating a self-help workbook group where we have a workbook that we might use. So there's so many things that are available, from medication to therapy to convulsive therapy to self-help groups, many things. Now, there are some things that are related to depression, such as postpartum depression. That is a different form of depression. There is definitely a chemical change in the body. Seasonal depression, or SAD, so seasonal affective depression, that happens because we're not getting enough sunlight. And for some people, that causes depression. And so that's also a different form of depression. These things are not related to grief. A persistent depressive disorder, which used to be called dysthymia, sort of just a constant low-grade feeling of depression. It's just sort of a constant thing that's there all the time. Premenstrual